Hey there, I'm Anna Pereira and you're listening to the Money Mindset Podcast. Bite-sized lessons to help you develop your financial education, build a strong money mindset, and make your money work for you. If you're ready to start making better financial decisions, then you, my friend, are definitely in the right place. Let's get started. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad that you could be here to join me for another epic episode of the Money Mindset Podcast. As I often record these episodes, I get really nervous. So I like to pretend that you're just here with me and that we're just a couple of people having a chat, perhaps over a cup of cacao. Yes, indeed, I did say cacao and not coffee because this year your girl is making some health changes, some different changes. I have some really great goals this year and my health is one area that I absolutely want to prioritize more of. And that's simply because I think as a mom and as an entrepreneur, as a wife, sometimes we know we put all these other labels on ourselves and we prioritize that over ourselves. So my health is absolutely one area that I really, really want to prioritize more this year, as is joy and fun and travel. And amidst all of that, I also want to set myself I have set myself some really big financial goals, both for my business and for the investments that I have. I want to go to that next level, as people would say. And so a question that I often get asked and a conversation I wanted to bring to this episode today that I am often asked is, how do you save money and still enjoy spending money? And the short and simple answer that I have to this is that I save money by investing money. And I imagine that sometimes that can sound really contradictive because we've been taught that to invest money, you first need to make or save the money. And that might, of course, be true for investing in things like real estate, where you need a hefty deposit these days. But real estate is really only one of the ways that you can invest your money. So I wanted to bring the conversation about the fact that I believe that we need to start to reframe and redefine what it means to save money, because simply saving money for the sake of saving is really not sound advice, because your dollar, your euro or pound, depending on where you're listening to this, which country you're listening to this from, it's losing its purchasing power every single year. I'm pretty sure you've already figured out that inflation right now is eating away at the value of the fiat currency that you hold. And we need to essentially start to do things differently. If you, of course, have been following me and listening to my previous podcast episodes, you may already know that I am a big advocate for what I created and what I call the Money Action Plan. But the Money Action Plan is just a simple way to ensure that you can spend and invest each month by allocating a set amount into your investment fund and then set a set amount into your splurge, spend, and enjoy account. So the most important thing about the Money Action Plan, though, is that it allows you to essentially put you back in the driver's seat of your money. That's what I'd like to encourage more people to do, because I know that for far too many people who feel that they have very little or perhaps no control at all over what's going on in their accounts, I also know far too many people who, if they lost their income stream or one of their income streams, they would essentially struggle to be able to maintain or keep up with the standard of life that they are ultimately used to, a comfortable one. And I think that essentially goes back to the fact that Australians or anyone who lives in Australia will perhaps relate to this, is that we enjoy working to live, not living to work. And look, I know I'm not naive enough not to realize how incredibly privileged I am to live where I live and to be financially and emotionally supported and by the people that I have around me. And that it's essentially a huge privilege and one that I am absolutely thankful for every single day. But my privilege was not something that I was born with in terms of the financial stability that I have. I am the daughter of immigrant parents who came to this beautiful country of Australia, like countless other immigrants, with little to nothing more than their bags, their hopes, and their dreams. Money management and investing, of course, is not a topic that they teach us at school. So the only financial education or the only conversation around money is one that I received, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is what we witness from our parents. And essentially for me, when we grow up, or perhaps this may apply to you too, when we grow up surrounded by parents whose mindset on money is one of scarcity, fear, judgment, lack, it's going to be natural that we end up adopting the same mentality and the same program as our parents have essentially built for themselves or been also programmed into believing. And when you then, I think, are then old enough to begin earning your own money, the message you then receive from your parents is to just save, 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 because there is some big bad rainy days on the horizon, and it just essentially reaffirms the lack and scarcity mentality. And so I think that what happens then is that we become conditioned and we are taught to feel safe and secure if we have large savings in our account. And this creates then a false sense of security and trust, and makes us completely reliant on the banking system as the only safe place to keep your money. And what most people don't know, or perhaps unaware of, or don't realize, is that you have an account with the bank, but you are the account holder, not the account owner. When you deposit your money and your savings in the bank, it's now the bank's money. It's, of course, still your account, but they essentially own it. If something should happen to the bank, we are told by our dear government that they will guarantee the deposits only up to 250K. But my questions are, what other conditions does this come with? What would all banks perhaps be covered under this guarantee? It's the wording in that guarantee by the government that's been created to essentially give us this blanket of security, is that it's very shades of gray, right? Sometimes, you know, adding a word or taking away a word from those statutes and policies that they create, it can be very quickly changed. So as you can probably guess, I have a lot of questions when it comes to any offers or promises made by a government body. And just to be clear, I'm of course not insinuating or making any type of theory, conspiracy or other, on what could happen if the banks fail and if your savings were gone overnight. But when we look at past examples that have occurred from other countries, it's safe to say that I don't trust my bank. I don't trust the people running the country, and I definitely don't trust the banking system, is what I'm saying. That's why I believe, you know, we really do need to go back to redefining what is savings and to think differently about what we should perhaps do or be doing with our money. We need to think differently about money, about investing, and most importantly, about getting back in the driver's seat of our own money management and be the boss of our money. That's what I essentially want and hope people take away from listening to my podcast. I don't have all the answers, but I know that a good place to start is by creating the money action plan, because that was essentially what worked for me. If you haven't, of course, already downloaded the money action plan, you can simply follow the link in the description of this podcast and start by getting your copy. It's for free. So I'm not promoting this to get anything out of it. I'm essentially wanting to just offer you the tool that so many people come to me and say, well, what is step one? Where do I even begin? I've not only created an ebook to guide you through the money action plan, but I've also then created the templates. And the templates are essentially where you're really going to become the boss of your money by knowing exactly what your money is doing for you each and every single month. And I've even given you a short video to explain how it works step by step. So yay for me, how amazing am I? Look, and I do this because I know the value in learning this simple method. I know the value and the confidence that is created and the impact that it can have then on your life if you simply take the first step and become the boss of your money and then tell it where to go. Tell it how to put it to work. That's definitely a topic we can cover in another day. If you, of course, have enjoyed this episode and have a friend who perhaps has also been struggling with their money management, send them this episode, or better yet, send them the link to the Money Action Plan. I believe the more women and men we can help educate and empower to become their own financial guru, to trust back in their ability to learn about money, to learn about financial literacy and investing, the better our collective lives become, then that, I think, essentially leads us to ensuring that our children too become just as financially educated and empowered as we are. So I'm making this one a short and sweet episode. Like I have said, I want to have some of these episodes be short and sweet, bite-sized episodes. Your takeaway from today is to, if you haven't already got the action money action plan, to go download it, get started, go read that, go read the ebook that I've put together and simply start creating your money action plan and take back the seat and take back your own power by putting yourself back into the money management seat and learning to control your own money. So thank you all, as always, for being here with me. And until next time, ciao for now.